This is MuggleCast, episode 14 for November 6th, 2005. Hello.
You're saying hello
to 70,000 MuggleCast listeners.
We get the idea.
I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Kevin Steck.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Laura Thompson.
I'm Georgia Mountford.
And this is the show where we bring you the latest in Harry Potter news, discussion, theories, cooking recipes, acne treatments. I've told it to you all before. Before we get to anything else, first let's go to Micah for the past week's top news stories.
Thanks, Andrew. The world premiere of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire took place earlier today. Be sure to check out our main page as it will be continuously updated with information. And just a reminder about some TV appearances being made by the actors in the fourth Harry Potter film. All times are on the East Coast unless otherwise stated. Thursday, November 10th, The Today Show, Dan Radcliffe to appear. The show runs from 7 to 10 a.m. on NBC. Regis and Kelly, Dan Radcliffe to appear. The show airs live at 9 a.m. The Martha Stewart Show, Dan Radcliffe to appear. All times vary. Friday, November the 11th, MTV's TRL, Dan Radcliffe and Rupert Grint to appear. This show airs live at 5 p.m. ET on MTV, special airing on MTV about Harry Potter at 8 p.m. For a complete listing of all show appearances, please visit MuggleNet's main page. And we informed you last week that a folk group called the Weird Sisters had secured a court date where they hope to have Goblet of Fire banned from distribution across Canada. They believe that their band's name was being used in the film without permission and that it would ruin their reputation. The Canadian Press reported on Friday that their motion has been dismissed, much to the delight of all Canadian Harry Potter fans. As always, there are tons and tons of new video clips, screenshots, poster scans, postcards, including shots of Emma Watson in the upcoming editions of Teen and Elle magazine, Dan Radcliffe in Time magazine and Entertainment Weekly, and Robert Pattinson in Teen People. There are also two new contests to check out, one being run by The Today Show and the other by MuggleNet, Warner Brothers, and the Noble Collection. Go to MuggleNet.com for more information. One brief announcement for those of you wondering. The date for the release of the Spanish translation of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince has been announced. It is due out on February 23rd, 2006. There are also two mini-casts available for download, one which is an interview with Matthew Vines of Veritaserum.com, who has already seen the new film, and the other is a joint podcast with TLC's Melissa and John, with information regarding the upcoming New York City podcast. Finally, don't forget our live New York City podcast at Barnes & Noble this Saturday, November 12th, at 33 West 17th Street between Broadway and Park Avenue in Union Square. That's all the news from our new center in New York for this November 6th, 2005 edition of MuggleCast. I'll see you guys live next week.
Thank you, Micah. And the first thing many of you might have noticed by now is that we have a new MuggleCaster. Please welcome Georgia from MuggleNet Fanfiction.
Yay!
Hello!
Yay! Hi, Georgia.
Hi.
Okay, tell us a little about yourself, where you're at, where you're from, what you do around the site.
I'm British, but I live in Australia, and I work on the fanfiction section, and I have about a year now.
Excellent. And we brought you on here last minute, because Ben was supposed to be on again, but...
Ben is on timeout
yeah,
right
Ben's
now.
Yeah, Ben's in timeout.
He's outside the room. He's outside Andrew's bedroom right now. We put him in the corner of Andrew's hallway.
Well, we had a couple problems, but Ben will definitely be on next week because next week is our live show. Wow, it's
I don't
only
think
week
he
away
has a
now.
Choice. Yes, it yeah. is.
You know what's funny? I don't know who came up with this live podcast idea first, but my original
it was
idea.
Me.
No,
it was all
my.
Kevin.
My original idea was, this will be nice. After the premiere, we'll go to Starbucks. Maybe, 10 people will show up.
Yeah, how many people registered, Andrew?
It's
boy,
true.
Was I wrong. Okay, well, we have, like 600 people. It's, that's an estimate. We have about 350 reservations, but each person is bringing at least one other friend. There's one group is bringing 15. There's the HP Fan Trips people are bringing, I don't even know how many.
Yeah.
No pressure.
My advice to all of you is get there early.
Just yeah, even earlier there. Than the time. Yeah.
It's going to be so crowded. But no, there will be tons of seating. There will be plenty of room for everyone. It's not going to be like Ozfest, and there's going to be no room to move around.
Except that does not mean that does not mean you cannot, you know, carry us in the crowd, because that might happen sometime later in the night.
It's just going to be, it is going to be a lot of fun, and we really cannot wait for it. I'm looking at the emails right now. We have 332 emails. People who have sent us an email and said to us, "Hey, I'm coming." Each person is at least bringing one other person. Multiply 332 times at least two, that's 660.
Four?
Yeah.
664.
664.
Good.
Couple of larger groups. So, my only suggestion is to get there early. There will be plenty of room. It's going to be comfortable. It's not going to be like a madhouse or anything. It's going to be
a nice
time. It's
not going to be a mosh pit.
It's a madhouse.
Right.
A madhouse.
I've been thinking about it so much lately. Yet me and Melissa just worked out our intro. That's going to be pretty fun.
Oh, jeez.
I don't want to spoil any surprises yet. It's going to be a fun time. And for those of you wondering, yes, we're going to have a video version. Yes, we're going to have an audio version.
Oh, we're having a video version now?
We're having video.
Oh, we're going to do it all.
Awesome.
We're going to do any version you could possibly think of. But the video version won't be up as soon as the audio. That could be up to a week.
Yeah,
but the audio version will
edit.
Yeah, the audio version will be up the following day, which is Sunday. Cuz right after the show, we don't want to do that. We're going to go out to dinner and
have a good time.
Chillax.
Slackers.
Laura, you want to do it? You want to edit the show?
Yeah. We'll send it to you down in Georgia, because you'll be sitting at home at on your computer being
I can't be in New York.
You suck.
So that's that. We can't wait. Kevin, Eric, Ben, Micah, Emerson will all be there from MuggleNet. And TLC people,
Other fan sites as well. Harry Potter fan zone.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Mike from ShirtHugo.com. Eris Janitakos, who made an appearance on MuggleCast on episode 2. And Matthew Vines might be there.
HPANA as well.
Oh, Jeff.
Oh, right. Jeff.
Yes. Jeff.
Jeffrey.
That'll be a nice.
Good man, Jeffrey.
Nice reunion.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a show.
It's going to be fun.
It will be.
But moving right along, today we are announcing our new partnership with GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy is your number one source for all your internet hosting needs. GoDaddy has new domain names, transfers, and renewals for as low as $1.99.
Plus, check out hosting plans, website builders, secure certificates, and much more.
Act now by entering the code MUGGLE, that's M-U-G-G-L-E, and you'll save an extra 10% off any order.
Visit MuggleCast.com, then click the GoDaddy banner to get started with your new website today.
And you might be saying, well, who says this GoDaddy is all said and good and a good service? Well, we have all used it ourselves.
Yes, we have. I actually registered MuggleCast.com with it. So
easy, quick, right? Yes?
Yes, very good. They actually
and
called me. That was very good.
Ooh.
Yes.
We've all used them for personal experience with different types of internet hosting needs, and we know a lot of you have come to us saying, well, how do you start your own website? This is where you start, with the hosting and the domain names.
Yep. You gotta have a good... Well, you have to have a good hoster before you have a good website.
Yes, you do. And we do recommend GoDaddy. Today. Hey guys, we screwed up again on episode 13.
No, that was my fault, Andrew. I will take
good
responsibility.
Job.
I did take responsibility in the comments.
To clarify.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
To clarify, it was not Katie Bell that was attacked in book 6. It was what was it?
Angelina Johnson.
Angelina Johnson. Sorry. So when we were talking about the death attack that Draco was giving, I don't know, everybody understood what I meant, but it was incorrect. So
and then we also got complaints about how we didn't put a spoiler warning on episode 13. Because we talked about Goblet of Fire a lot.
But we were talking about Goblet of Fire.
Yeah. People were upset, but I'll put one at the beginning of the show if we talk about Goblet of Fire.
Too much.
Heavy duty.
Yeah. Because for those of you wondering, that is my phone.
I mean, if you hear us start talking about Goblet of Fire, then just stop it. I mean, I'm sorry for those people who might have gotten spoiled a little, I guess. But we'll start doing it again. I didn't think it would be too much of a problem. My bad. Sorry, dudes.
Also, I'm getting nightmare stories from people. Last week we were talking about British schools, and I asked if they were really as bad as they are being portrayed in the Goblet of Fire movie. And actually, as a matter of fact, they make it seem like a playtime compared to the stories that I'm getting from these people. You know, it's like I must have gotten I got at least 20 different retellings of how people were. I'm not even going to go into it. It's bad. So that answered my question. Thank you, people.
But thanks for keeping Eric entertained.
Yes.
He likes hearing horror stories.
Yeah,
especially
nice
from
to see him busy.
British people, yeah.
And then also, quick happy birthday shout-outs. People email me and say, hey, can you wish me a happy birthday on the show? I say, sure, why not? It's fun. Happy birthday to Shia. She her birthday was back on the 16th. And Megan, who had a birthday earlier this week. So, happy birthday to Megan and Shia.
Also, if you're a Harry Potter fan
happy
and you would like to...
Happy
if you would like to propose to your girlfriend or your future fiancé through this
happy
show, we do that for you.
To you.
We would gladly say, Kim, will
happy
you marry Jonathan?
To you. Wasn't that nice background music while Eric was...
rambling?
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone, do not forget.
I was offering to do wedding announcements, Kevin.
Everyone, do not forget. I don't know how could you forget, but November is
Native American
month.
Right, and that's why powwows.com is sponsoring MuggleCast all this month to bring you the latest information all about powwows, the Native American culture. They have videos, audios, pictures, calendars, dance routines, songs. It's all there. So visit powwows.com/MuggleNet for quick links for students and teachers. It really is a great resource. And we've been getting lots of emails about it. People enjoying it. Thanking us for mentioning it, bringing it to them. Let's see. What else? Heck! That's it.
Oh, we could talk about book reviews. We have been debating, and we need some recommendations for doing reviews on books that Harry Potter fans can read other than Harry Potter while waiting for book 7.
Yes.
So, if you do want to send us recommendations for books, you could probably send it to my email address. That's kevin@staff.mugglenet.com. And we're going to take our time with it. So we'll try to do maybe one a week or maybe one every 2 weeks because you have to give us time to review it, you know, read the book itself. But after that, we should get that off the...
Yeah, we're going to see if it works out.
Yeah, we'll try.
Yeah, I mean, because I know for one, I mean, Ben can read, so he's out for the reading.
Yeah.
And
no, don't.
No, he admitted to it. He said Ben could.
I can't Andrew
read.
Is dyslexic.
Yeah.
I can't read. I'll openly admit it.
And I don't really read either. Which
None
is...
of us read. Do you know this book called Harry Potter?
And that's a movie, Laura.
Maybe you've heard of it? Yeah.
Perry Hotter? What?
Perry
Potter? Oh, yeah, it is a movie.
Yeah, that's where I've seen it.
Oh yeah, but what's this?
We
thing
are
about-
the most unentertaining podcast. In the
I
world.
Know, but we try.
I take that back. Now people are going to use that clip for other shows.
That's
going to
be like
yeah, Potter blackmail. Use that.
You know, there are several other Harry Potter podcasts out there.
There are, yes.
Believe it or not, we're not the only one.
But we're the best one,
exactly.
Thank
Georgia,
you, Georgia.
Thank you for saying that. How much should I promise to pay you?
I don't get paid. What's this?
Paid. I think the currency. No, Andrew. Unfortunately, the exchange rate is crap right now. So whatever you offer there is probably triple that.
Oh, I take that back. We are only a few days away until Goblet of Fire. Well, it depends on when you're listening to this.
We just talked about
but
this.
We're definitely less than 2 weeks away from
Oi,
the Harry Potter.
We don't get it here till December 1st.
Aww.
What?
The Australian.
Right. I don't know why they would do that. Why US and UK gets it.
Forgot about that.
We don't in Australia.
They'll have it on the internet.
We're all giddy while in the meantime.
Don't say that. Come on.
Kevin will get it for you.
Oh, yeah. Let's not.
WB, I hope you didn't just hear that.
Yes, Kevin would rather not be arrested.
But it would be pretty funny if someone came to arrest him during the live show.
Oh, okay.
They take him away.
Do you want to give him the
address,
anyway,
too?
No, the fans
whether
would
you live
them.
In the United States or the United Kingdom, Goblet of Fire is only 2 weeks away. Less than 2 weeks away, in fact. There's been a lot of news lately. But the one story we wanted to talk about was actually late-breaking. The follow-up just came out as we were about to record. A judge has dismissed the motion to block the Potter film in Canada. What happened was the Weird Sisters, who play a role, their music is in the film, and recently they came to Warner Brothers and they said, hey, we don't want to be in the movie. They argued that a fictional rock band in the film would ruin their careers and were seeking $40 million in damages from Warner Brothers. The Weird Sisters were going to be in the biggest film, probably, of all year, and they were afraid it would ruin their career.
And they wanted 40
million.
Does that
make sense?
They wanted 40 million.
Why would they do that?
But their name wasn't used.
Yeah, there was no name
mentioned
in the
film. Warner Brothers proved it to them. This is the best promotion a band could get.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why they're so
upset about it.
They wanted 40 million from Warner Brothers? I want to know how much Warner Brothers paid them in the first place.
They would have gotten that if they just did a website of their own. You know, if they did WeirdSisters.org, they would have gotten so many hits and ad revenue would have been $40 million, you know, for being
this
in
this is
movie.
Just... It's crazy. Product placement. It's easy.
It's free ads.
Yeah, but you know, I also think they might be doing it to get the attention because they know...
The
they probably know that there are a lot of Harry Potter fans.
But you know what? At
you know, they even have... And then they wanted the film out of Canada.
Yeah.
So not only would they have made 40 million,
they would have
would have been banned from.
They would have ticked off everybody in Canada. You know what? I have faith now. Now I have faith in the Canadian court system because.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little ridiculous. I don't think it ever.
But now, of course, the judge has dismissed it. So there is no more worrying for the Canadian fans. They're rejoicing. They're all going, hey, 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 hey.
No, I love
it's a
that
happy world up in Canada.
I love that voicemail that we got from the Canadian girl.
Yeah,
said,
where
hey.
She was like, hey.
She was, hey, I'm from Canada, eh?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. So that's good. Anything else you guys want to talk about relating to Goblet of Fire? It's only a few days away.
We'll have a lot to
world
talk
premiere
about
attendees,
it.
Pretty much everyone. The trio,
yeah, that was
well, Bonnie Wright.
Well, that thing on Mugglenet, that was for the premiere in London. Do we know if there's any less
right,
people
world
coming?
Premiere.
Yeah, is there more people?
Yes, we do know who is going to be there, but I'm not sure if we could talk about it.
Oh.
Wow, that silenced
do you think
him.
Do you think they're still listening?
Yeah, I'd like brothers? To see. I'd like to see them.
Well,
try
they're
and
too
take
busy arresting Matt Vines, you guys.
Well, you know what? I'd like to see them try and arrest us, because if the cops came in, guys, if the cops came in, the fans would just mob them, and they wouldn't, you know, we'd be able to escape through the back door.
That is true.
Or we'd, like, change...
The MuggleCast army is the strongest thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
It got us back on iTunes, it made me a multimillionaire, it's doing everything
Andrew.
For us.
I thought your house looked different.
Well, I will say this. The world premiere has many more attendees than the domestic premiere does. Many more. Robbie Coltrane, Robert Hardy, who plays Fudge, Robert Pattinson, Roger Lloyd-Pack, Shirley Henderson.
Moni Myrtle.
Who else? Warwick Davis. They're all... Oh, and J.K. Rowling is going to be at the world premiere.
Will she be in New York?
Basically, the entire... Cast is going to be there.
Andrew, will she be in New York?
Yeah, but that was...
Yeah, expected, Americans I mean. Can't say rolling, everyone.
Rolling.
Rowling. Rolling. I don't know, I just think like growl, row. Growl, row.
Row, row.
Next time I see her, that's what I'm going to call her. Yo, growl, row.
She'll
appreciate
it
that, I'm sure.
If she spelled it differently...
Oh, I'm sure she'll love it.
If she spelled it like rolling, people would be saying rolling.
So I guess there's really nothing else to say there. Well, also good news for everyone who isn't going to the world premiere. It's going to be broadcast on online. You're going to be able to watch it live. Not the actual movie, but the red carpet arrivals.
Well, you may be able to watch the actual movie if someone sneaks in their camera, you know.
Kevin, hush.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they'll stop
Warner
the movie.
Warner Brothers is
going to
come and, like...
arrest me?
Yeah, they're going to get us all in the night.
Yeah. MPAA will deliver a $5,000 bill to my door.
We'll just podcast from jail, then. Guys, we'll podcast from jail. He'll be like, hi, we're in the New York penitentiary right now.
What is this doing for Warner Brothers? Why are they putting it online?
Publicity.
Red carpet arrivals.
Publicity,
because they're nice
say.
People.
Didn't they do that with Chamber of Secrets, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
I'm pretty sure a lot of
with
movie
Sorcerer's
premieres,
Stone.
I've seen a lot of, especially recently, a lot of just publicity online of movie premieres, so...
It's this online craze. It's madness.
It's true, and it's getting a little more sophisticated now, so they can stream things a little easier, especially with wireless.
I don't watch TV very often, but I sat down and watched it last night. I went through 4 or 5 channels. All of them have Goblet of Fire ads. They're
Yay!
Putting it everywhere. Yeah. They're. I mean, I guess it's good. Well, obviously for them, it is.
They have to meet the budget. They have to meet the budget of the film, even though they would have.
Is it possible to overkill it?
I don't think so. I don't think. I mean, people.
I don't
will
think it matters.
With the Potter fan.
They'll either see it or not. It's like Lord of the Rings. They were pacing that all over the place. I saw that on billboards in Torrington.
Yeah, but I think if I've said this in the past. If you promote it too much, some people might get too much of a good look and might change their minds on whether
they
want to see it or not.
Well, the only thing I would be concerned about is that people think it's going to be better than it is because of all the publicity.
Yeah.
And then they go and see it and they're disappointed because they have this expectation of it.
Like Prisoner of
right.
Azkaban.
Well, that's what happened with me with Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not keeping my hopes up from Goblet of
yeah,
Fire.
To...
Matthew Vines is not going to change my mind.
I'm sorry, but it... The movies aren't the best, but, you know.
No.
They're entertaining. They're entertaining.
I tell you what really annoyed me. I saw in a preview that Mad-Eye Moody has his eye strapped on.
That's I don't like that at all. I think it looks stupid.
I'm used to it now. I got used to it, though.
To me, that seems like a cheap way to not have to work on special effects.
Yeah, because if his eye's strapped in, it's not going to pop out like it is all the time. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not sure about that, though.
You know what I think it was? I think there are probably...
we're not, but I think Warner Brothers is being cheap.
Mm. Oh, you know, I couldn't believe what they did to that werewolf in the third movie.
Oh.
That was
no.
just terrible.
Oh,
I'll never
yeah.
forgive them for that.
It really was.
Sirius in the Fire is going to be a big upset, too.
What? No,
I think.
Matt said it was cool.
It's like an intern made that.
Hey.
An intern probably did make that. They're like, oh, we don't
What's
have time
interns?
To do this. Hey, you, come over here.
No, there's nothing wrong with interns. The problem is, well, it wasn't an intern, and the poor guy who made that is crying right now because everyone keeps insulting him.
I think it's cool.
All my work.
I know. He probably spent like 3 months on that.
Instead
his
of
face
like
is
his
in
head.
A fire.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it.
It looks like molten lava.
Does.
It's supposed to be in the gas.
I expected to see a...
I mean, the flames.
Yeah,
it's like he's actually in the logs.
I kind of expected...
You can't even see logs.
I wanted to...
It's molten lava.
Okay,
it's like Harry's in a volcano.
Andrew, I was expecting a more Wizard of Oz type approach.
He's
I was expecting.
Volcano.
I was expecting like the...
Just wrong.
Oh my god, right, they're like trying to combine Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings now.
Hey, yeah. We try.
Andrew, I was expecting a sort of Wizard of Oz kind of man behind
That's
the curtain
sure.
thing.
Yes.
All
right, so,
wow, your voice just cracked there.
My voice just cracked, and that's about it. I'm finally growing up.
It's about time.
Oh, by the way, our Goblet of Fire sweepstakes on MuggleNet.com. Click on that fine banner. Warner Brothers is great. Have you guys looked at these prizes yet?
No.
Excellent prizes. Excellent prizes. The Potter, we have, Potter sweatshirts, dragon eggs, future Triwizard Champion t-shirts, Ministry of Magic bags, temporary tattoos. Ooh. Come on.
Everyone loves
Bo Batten's hoodies and beanies.
Bo Baxton's.
It's all here. Oh, and then the grand prize, worth $125, a 7-inch tall replica of the Triwizard Tournament Cup.
And you can count
the Noble Collection.
And you can count on me winning that, so don't even bother.
No, we're playing absolutely fair.
Yeah, we're not allowed to win it, so.
They give us an extra one.
They should. We've been getting a lot of emails, too, about where we can get these from, where people can buy these from. We don't know yet. Well, I mean, the Triwizard Cup you can get off NobleCollection.com. The Potter sweatshirt, which is the favorite among everyone, because it looks like his jacket he wore in the Triwizard Tournament scene. I mean, the dragon scene.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's actually a really sweet jacket. I want one. But I'm not going to win it. Some lucky person is going to win it.
Speaking of...
We'll get you one for Christmas.
Oh, would you?
No.
Okay, oh, by the way, guys, Christmas is right around the corner. We all want Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Cough up.
No joke. No.
I don't get Christmas presents. No, I'm teasing. I do get Christmas presents. All right, still.
So I think that's about it. Goblet of Fire.
Send in book recommendations.
And speaking of t-shirts, if you have, once again, we're asking that, if you have a nearby custom t-shirt store that you create a MuggleCast t-shirt to wear to the premiere if you're coming, and make copies for us.
Make copies for us, okay.
I mean copies, like extra shirts, make shirts for us too, and we'll wear them.
Awful. Okay, so moving along to our main topic of the week.
Chinny Wizzy.
Continuing our regular series on... A specific character in the HP series to bring out everything we need to know about that character. This week, as promised...
Chinny Wizzy.
Eric. Chinny Wizzy.
Say it with enthusiasm.
Chinny Wizzy.
There you go.
There we go. Today...
Chinny Wizzy.
This week, we're talking about Chinny Wizzy.
Let's run through a few quick facts first about her.
She is the only girl.
Yes, and she was actually, if I remember, she was the first girl. She was the first Weasley that Harry saw at King's Cross, if I recall correctly.
I think she was. Well, I think she was there with Mrs. Weasley and Ron, but I think she was definitely the first person he heard. Talk.
Yeah,
I don't
actually,
know. We might be wrong again, though. We
hang
do
on,
that
I had the first.
No book. Guarantees. Her full name: Ginevra Molly Weasley, born on August 11th, 1981. She is a pure blood. Thankfully.
What are you?
Her first year in Hogwarts.
Here?
No,
you
no,
just said
no.
Thankfully.
Her first. Her. Her. Because I didn't want Draco to insult her. Duh.
You're
her
so
first
old.
Year in Hogwarts, 1992, Gryffindor House, a seeker for the Gryffindor team. Isn't that great?
That's
Yay.
Excellent.
Yay.
The Weasley, they're taking over the Quidditch
team. They are.
Is it a genes thing?
It's possible. It's distinctly possible.
Genes in the Weasleys.
Quidditch. It's the. It's actually the mire they have out in the back of their house. You know, all that summer practice.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Right.
Anyway,
she's not a parcel mouth, but of particular interest, she named Dumbledore's army.
Oh?
Oh, she did. You're right.
There you go. Thanks for the HP lexicon for all that info. No, I didn't pull that out of my head. Are you kidding me?
You know, I was actually fairly certain, I hoped at least, that Ginny's first name was Virginia and not Ginevra.
We found out.
Yeah. Virginia. But actually clarifying, Ginny was the first Weasley child that Harry took note of. When he's at Platform 9 and 3 Quarter, when he's at King's Cross Station, Molly says, packed with muggles, and that gets Harry's attention. And then she asks, what's the platform number? And Ginny says 9 and 3 quarters. And, yeah. 9 and 3 quarters piped a small girl, also redheaded, who was holding her hand. Mom, can't I go?
Just a general interest question. Who on here, when they first started reading the books, actually called her Ginny?
I didn't, for for sure.
I did.
I don't think anyone.
I think
did.
That's a strictly,
I
did.
Really? Yeah.
I thought that was a strictly Lara thing.
No, I was 11. I actually got the first three books for my 11th birthday. I know, pretty cool. And as I'm reading the first book, I kept calling her Ginny. And I'm reading it out loud at one point, and my mom's like, gives me this look like, are you a moron? It's Ginny.
Well, so, I think
at 11 years old.
It's one of those things where if you've seen the name before, and if you've seen it written, you know how to pronounce it. Like, actually, is Hermione a common name, or is it like a name, like, where does she, are any of
I actually
names?
Looked that up at one point, and according to behindthename.com, we don't have to, we can just leave that out if we need to, don't have to plug them, but according to that site, Hermione was actually a fairly popular name in Britain in the 20s and 30s.
Kind of like Emma or Emily and, you know, Gertrude here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's really interesting because I'm wondering, like, where does JKR get all her names from? I mean, she has this extensive, you know, list of everybody's, you know, Latin origins and everybody's mythology, and, you know, she delves into, like, all of it. And some of it, I mean, is probably even unintentional, and she just goes so far into it with the creation of a name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they're also, like,
well,
popular
also,
names as well.
I mean, you've definitely got some mythological influences, because Hermione in Greek mythology was the woman loved by two men, but this is not the Hermione cast. So.
And don't think it's Harry and Ron either. We don't want to get those emails. The two men are Ron and Draco, okay? I'm establishing that right now.
Draco?
It's better than Harry.
Try Crumb.
Okay, yeah, Crumb. All right, Crumb and Ron. That works. Actually, talking about Ginny, since that's what we're supposed to do in this cast, I have to say that I actually called the Ginny-Harry relationship. I was very pleased in book six to find that my ship had sailed, because, not that I ship Harry characters, because I really, really don't, but I was pleased to see, because I thought that Ginny would make a really good potential girlfriend for Harry, and it's really a shame, because with all the romance in book six, we really didn't see Harry and Ginny together at all.
When did you predict this?
Throughout the series when I was reading, I just thought, oh, gee, wouldn't it be nice, you know, for Ginny? Because you have crazy girls like Cho and stuff, and then you have Ginny, who's always liked Harry, and who is actually growing into not just, you know, this giddy little girl, but this actually really good, like, defenseful, mm-hmm. you know. So I was very happy. I was like, hey, you know, I kind of always, I never really shipped the characters, but I always thought that Ginny and Harry should really happen, and I was very happy that it did.
I never really cared all that much. I'm kind of like you, Eric. I just was like, yeah. Oh, okay, that's cool.
Kind of tune it out. You still read the romance scenes, but they don't really exist in your mind.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe one day we should do a whole podcast on, well, a main topic should be shipping, because I just don't see
Valentine's
what the big
Day.
Deal about it is.
That should be like the special Valentine's cast.
Valentine's, yeah, okay, Valentine's cast, all right.
If podcasting is still in style, let's in February, let's mark that down.
It will be.
But I just don't see the whole thrill of the shipping thing.
No.
It's because I'm a guy. Am
yeah,
I up for the adventure,
get,
not for
hey,
the romance?
You're
hey, I'm
flamed.
A girl, and I don't think the shipping's all that
yeah,
great.
Let's not get into this, all right?
Yeah, we'll get into this
whole. We're talking about
Ginny
here. We're talking about Ginny. Now, it's interesting. Okay, fine. I'll just start another topic like I have been doing. Okay, the parcel mouth thing. I thought for sure, again, like with the Virginia thing, I thought it would be really cool if Ginny were still a parcel mouth from when Riddle possessed her. And I thought that would be kind of really cool way of leaving his powers with mm-hmm. Ginny. Since he talked parcel mouth through her, I thought it would be cool if she retained those. But then JKR said that she didn't, so.
And I'm pretty sure that has something to do with Horcruxes not being able to transfer power.
Exactly. I was just going to get into it. Lara, you're brilliant.
Thank you.
If Harry is a Horcrux, then why does he have Voldemort's powers, even when Voldemort's not acting through him? Ooh! Booyah! Take that, all you Horcrux Harry chipper people.
Alright, so let's take a couple of voicemails right now. Keep this convo
about
going.
Jenny.
Hi, MuggleCast. This is Katrina from Canada. On her website, J.K. Rowling says that Ginny is the first girl born into the Weasley clan in a few generations. Do you think that this has some effect on the person that she is and the character that she will mature into in Book 7?
Yeah, I think it will, because you see a lot of pressure just from Ron by being the youngest boy, so you've got to imagine being the youngest girl with all those siblings.
Yeah, but
you feel
like
you have a lot to live up to, so I think she really has that motivation, and it's really toughened her up.
Yeah, but do you think that will affect her in Book 7, even after she's lived with that her whole life?
I think you'll always have some type of... She might always feel like she's in competition with her brothers in a way, but she seems like a pretty strong personality to me.
Yeah,
like, she handles them really well.
I think it's already changed her, but she's not going to change anymore because
of
that. Yeah, I agree. I find it hard to believe that, you know, she's going to...
I think with having so many brothers, you know that scene where she was caught by Ron in the cupboard snogging, and they had that little bit of a fight, and how harsh she was to Ron and everything.
Yes.
I think that a lot of
that
is that to do with all the boys that have been around her, and the second she has a boyfriend or something, there's all this pressure.
I agree, and they all want to kick his butt. Ron wanted to kick... who was Ginny with?
Dean.
Yeah, but that's the other thing with Ginny. She not only has to deal with all those brothers, but she has to deal with a brother like Ron, who tends to be, hypocritical. And, you know, very, very emotional when it comes to what his sister's doing that he isn't. So, you know, I think it's in Ron's personality. Ron's personality makes it a little bit harder for Ginny to deal with, but I think she gets by very well.
So I think we all agree that she's not going to change any more than she has.
Based on her,
there's no reason for her to,
I mean...
Well, what do you... You mean change as in what?
Well, I mean, she asks whether, because of this, she's going to, is it going to affect her the way she matures in Book 7? But I
don't think her character has much more growth.
Yeah.
You know, she's been developed over the 5th and 6th book, and I think she's... We've got a firm idea of who she is now, and I don't think she's going to change much in Book 7.
And I don't... If she does grow, it'll probably be more in the relationship sense. As I did mention, we don't really see much of her and Harry in Book 6. Even though they're together, they don't really show it. So any more maturity, I think, would come from Harry and her's relationship and not be more of, like, family-related stuff.
Yeah. I mean, but I think she'll play her biggest role in Book 7.
Yeah.
Just because...
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the way it's been going. And now they're in a relationship, so even though Harry doesn't want to, she's going to want to be near him and all that.
Yeah, I think, though, I don't think that Jo is going to, again, we touched on this, I don't even remember what episode, but I don't think the romance is going to have any bearing on the overall plot or...
Well, it really
whether
can't.
Whether, basically, Harry and Ginny being together is not going to depend on whether Harry defeats Voldemort.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's smart about keeping Ginny close to Harry is that Ginny was, you know, possessed in Book 2 by Voldemort, so she's had that close contact with Voldemort. And I think it's really important to see all the people close to Harry have really had, you know, been affected directly.
Exactly.
By things that Voldemort has done. And it's kind of like an unlinking, like a step-by-step unlinking of him in Book 7 is what I foresee, because everybody who's near him, you know, has had something happen to them, and they're just going to – it's all going to come back. Like, I mean, all the characters that come forward are going to – you know, it's going to be brought up, like, what happened to them that Voldemort did, including Neville. Andrew, is Andrew cutting out to anybody else?
Yeah, he's breaking.
He's breaking up pretty bad.
Yeah,
still,
a little.
Yeah. It's like last time. Whoa, it's weird. Okay, so I think we explained that pretty well. I mean, again, just to reiterate, she has matured enough so that her
family situation is not going to affect what she becomes in book 7.
Except
right.
She's going to play a large role in book 7, but the relationship isn't.
Except for a flower girl at Bill and Fleur's wedding.
That's true.
But that's about it.
Hi, MuggleCast. My name's Alice, and I'm coming to you from Wellington in New Zealand. My question this week is, do you think there is any further connection between Ginny Weasley and Lord Voldemort? Also, why do you think Lucius Malfoy chose Ginny Weasley to receive the diary? More to the point, do you think Lucius knew that it was a Horcrux? Love to hear your guys' thoughts. Thanks.
Oh. It's a multiple-tiered question.
I thought, I don't know where I was from, but I thought that Voldemort would have given Lucius the diary and told him to keep it safe or whatever, however he explained it, but I don't think he would have told his Death Eaters about all his Horcruxes and their locations, because, I don't know.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think Lucius knew.
Yeah, it's actually said in the book, if I'm not mistaken, that Dumbledore speculates that when Voldemort gave Lucius the diary, he told him some things about, that it might bring the chamber back open, but
that's where I
he didn't
got my
tell
idea
him about,
from,
the Horcrux. It was actually, speculated. Yes, JKR, the best source.
And, I mean, if you think about, would he really risk putting that in right in front of Dumbledore?
Yeah, if he knew it was... Right. Mm-hmm. The reason I think he chose Ginny was because he saw her as a weak girl, and at that point, he was, as Dumbledore says, he was in it for his own, selfish reasons, and Arthur Weasley was conducting all these raids and stuff, so wouldn't it be great to discredit Mr. Weasley by killing his daughter, and his daughter completely fit the type. She was a shy kind of, girl who would write a diary. So it really worked.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a total, just a hit on the Weasleys, just because he doesn't like them. And not to mention, Lucius Malfoy and Arthur Weasley got into that huge fight right before Lucius put the diary. I think he actually slid it into one of Ginny's school books or something.
Yeah.
And threw it back at her. So that might have been a little bit of inspiration for him.
Yeah, but do you think
well.
That she... Do you think he chose her specifically, or just... the opportunity presented itself.
It might have been a little bit of both. I think maybe he had an idea that he would like to do something like that to the Weasleys, and maybe, I'm not sure whether or not he knew they had a young daughter, maybe he saw her in there and realized that they did and was like, oh hey, perfect.
Yeah,
gave it to her.
He could have planted it on any Hogwarts student, and he mm-hmm. chose...
Yeah,
just Ginny, and that might have been that it presented itself, but I don't think he was sitting, okay, we're going to corner them in Flourish and Blots, and I'm going to put it in her cauldron,
Well, the outcome, would the outcome have had been any different, though? If, say, it was put in another first years? Because I'm trying to remember how Harry found out that Ginny, it was Ginny.
Well, they were in the staff room.
Did Right.
Yeah, they were. It was in the staff room. It was Ron and Harry snuck into the staff wardrobe before the Boggart was in there, and they overheard that it was Ginny, and so that's when they
overheard it was Ginny who was taken.
Who was taken, right?
Yeah.
It would have been another student who was taken down, but I think they might have reacted in the same way. They would have gotten frightened and tried to throw it away, so the plot may have still played out a little bit, but I think it was important that it was Ginny.
I'm not sure if it was important that it was Ginny.
I think you definitely needed a timid personality.
Yeah, but
for that.
Well, you had to be very curious. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that Ginny played into. She was so curious over the diary.
It was perfect for Ginny because, she's got all those brothers, like I mentioned with the first voicemail, and she is susceptible to, she has no one to share her secrets with, so therefore she's susceptible to Tom Riddle's weird little mind-powering thing.
Georgia, yeah,
and it's something she doesn't have to share with her brothers.
Because she doesn't have a sister to share that with. You're right. That's... She's nobody to tell, so she's going to tell Tom. I thought it was clever. I mean, reading book 2, it's always funny to see how they all have trouble starting off the day when they're going to King's Cross and Ginny forgets her diary, and they go back for it.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool. I love it when J.K. Eyre does that.
She's the queen of foreshadowing. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, and it's funny because she foreshadows so far in advance that you don't see it coming when...
Oh, she's so good at it.
And you know what? Does she do it intentionally? I mean, you know, I think it's all about... Yes. It's all about her knowing how the septology is going to go and, you know, how it's going to... So, I mean, all this stuff about her, you know, her foreshadowing stuff... People on message boards across the fandom are going and analyzing so much into the motivation behind every line, and I'm in favor of that, by the way, but also some of the stuff that exists, I really don't think JKR is ever going to come forward and say, I did all of it. You know, I really don't think she's not going to acknowledge that she actually did, but I think it's really clever that we all... you know, see her as this omniscient, you know, flawless character because so much has fit together, like puzzle
pieces
into the thing.
Well, that's why we jump to so many conclusions,
exactly,
like with Mark Evans.
Also, but JKR has said that she doesn't reread her books and stuff, and it's so awkward because how well the books fit together and how true they are and how little they are contradictory, it's so cool that, you know, she doesn't read her own books, which
she said in an interview once that a reporter came up to her and said something about the origin of the word Quidditch, and J.K. Rowling actually said that she'd simply just written down a whole bunch of cool-sounding words that started with Q and picked one. But the reporter thought it had to do with, you know, quintessence or something like that. I don't quite remember the quote. But
exactly.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that are accidental, but some things that are definitely planted.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting if she actually surveyed herself and did go through in the books and say how much was actually intentional and how much just formed itself. Because I think that's definitely a testament to the creative mind. But more Jenny. Yay.
Hey, MuggleCast. This is Natalie from HarryPotterFanZone.com. And my question is, how do you guys feel about the relationship between Jenny and Harry? Do you think that Ginny is worthy enough to be the girlfriend of the famous Harry Potter?
Yes.
I have supported that ship forever.
Yeah, definitely. Not only that, I mean, just because you're famous doesn't mean the person who you have a relationship with has to be.
I think Ginny can handle his fame and his popularity. She's such a strong character, I think that she can definitely be with him.
She can handle anything. Jake,
and she's got the...
I mean, she
survived,
like, possession from Voldemort.
Yeah, what about in book 6, where it was about the tattoo or whatever, where there was rumors going around that Harry had a tattoo or something?
Yeah.
And she goes, I told him it was a hippogriff, it was more manly or something. She can handle any rumors going around about her and Harry. She just deals with his fame, and she just deals with it to be with him. So it's really cool.
And she's grown so much over the last two books, and she's experienced a lot in common with Harry, like how, especially with the whole total thing, being possessed and being a victim and everything, she can relate to him more than any other girl could.
And because Harry and the Weasleys are so close, you know, Harry and Mrs., you know, and he's always over there, so they really do have a lot more in common.
They do, especially, I think... on a different level, their family situation as well. I mean, she's like the odd person out in the family because she's a girl, like we said before. You know, and I think that Harry obviously is the odd person out in what you would call his family now with the Dursleys. And I think that they can also relate on that level.
Yeah. So so that's an interesting point. So even though they can relate through being a family, they can also relate through not really being in the family.
Exactly. I mean, it's sort of strange connection, but I think that just the fact that they have so much in common makes it so that they are quite obviously, you know, a good couple. But...
And I think when Harry pulled the whole Spider-Man thing at the end of the book, I think their relationship is just on hold. I don't think it's over at all.
Yeah, I agree.
I love
I agree.
That. The Spider-Man thing.
Okay, that leads to a different point. Do you think that they will ever have a full relationship before the end of book 7?
If Harry doesn't die, I want them to.
Well, I think... what I could really honestly see happening is Harry and Ginny having, like their little moments throughout book 7, but
yeah.
It won't be an official type thing until Voldemort's gone.
Because they'll be so quick, and yeah. There's going to be so much going on, it's just going to be like, hey, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay, bye.
You know what, I think we're going be these to... Quick... Yeah, I think, actually, you know what, I'm thinking, no problem, Andrew, I think that we're going to see some James and Lily parallel. I really want to see James and Lily parallel, because James and Lily Potter defied Voldemort 3 times, you know, so, and they really must have, even though we didn't get any insight into it much, because Lily hated James in book 5, in the Pensieve scene, they did work together to destroy Voldemort, and I think it'd be really cool if we got kind of like a reminiscent that James and Lily's situation with Harry and Ginny working together. You know, they like each other, but they're also working towards defeating Voldemort. I think
yeah, that's what I was hoping for. Something where they like each other, but it's not a true relationship yet.
But
you
it will strengthen. Yeah, but their
just
fight for Voldemort
together.
Yeah, and their fight for Voldemort will strengthen their relationship as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they can she can wrap it up in the end. You know, yeah. Where she doesn't give a detailed account of the relationship, but you know, she somewhat foreshadows to what's going to happen, you know?
You know, I think so much crap has happened to Harry that he really deserves Ginny. He deserves to live, I think.
He deserves a loving relationship.
He deserves a loving relationship, like Ginny can get him. And I don't think Harry should die, because if people knew that Harry died, and if Harry does die... Who would read the books? Would you guys still read the books if you knew that the character you're reading about... The character,
I would if she did it in a certain way.
Yeah, the
we
character...
We will have already read them, so it won't matter.
Well, right. Yeah, the damage is done. But, I mean, the JKR gives us so much insight into his thoughts at every particular moment in throughout the course of 7 years. And if he dies, none of it'll matter. Like, you know, in a certain way. I mean, we can get our own enlightenment from it, and, you know, we can take
I don't agree necessarily, because when someone dies, they always leave some kind of imprint behind.
I mean, we can derive things from Harry's story, and, you know, we can you know, become more mature through studying, you know, his emotions and things like that. But beyond that, I really don't want to, you know...
I don't want Harry to die either, but honestly, I see Ron as a more likely death candidate than Harry.
Yeah.
See, I don't know
this.
About that, though. Because I always thought that Harry was going to die because of J.K. Rowling setting up the characters around him dying.
Yeah.
She's killed off so many of his close friends and his relatives that it almost seemed to me she was trying to portray this there's no going back now kind of thing. Sir, I'm not trying to be you know, redundant, but again, the Lord of the Rings analogy.
Right.
Where
right.
Frodo comes back to the Shire, but it's not saved for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he would never be the same. I sort of had the feeling that Harry would never be the same after.
Right.
You know,
the main reason that I think that Ron is going to bite the dust is that chess analogy. It was. Completely. If you read, we talked about the one editorial where they compared the chess game in book 1 to the Second War, and if you put certain people in different places as different pieces, and then obviously you have Ron getting killed by the Queen.
But all three of them did prosper in the end, I guess.
They did.
Well, at least Harry went on, so, you know.
I just think the reason why Ron would die is because he's so weak. Weak in a way.
Aww.
I just see him as weak.
He is a flawed character in many ways.
Now, what do you mean by weak? Do you mean?
I mean that he, I just don't know how to explain it. He's just not weak in character, but weak in attitude. He's not a can-do guy like Harry. He's just... If he was facing a situation where it was life or death for him, he wouldn't survive. How would
look
he do
see,
it?
I
He's
see
not
Ron.
Good at spells. He's not good at anything.
My wand! Look at my wand!
He's spent his whole life overshadowed by people. He's always had his right. older brothers, and then he's always had Harry, and he's never had a chance
right.
to show who he is, and I don't know, maybe right. that's why
I think if Ron does go down, it's going to be, like, sacrificing himself.
Yeah.
Really, for the great... I don't think it's going
that's
to be...
Really the, yeah.
yeah, I agree, actually.
Yeah,
that's,
just that's, Voldemort going, Avada Kedavra, and Ron dies.
No,
I
think
that's
exactly... That's in Ron's character. The only thing Ron can do, if he can't help with the battle... You know, if he's not a strong wizard, the best thing he can do is sacrifice himself. But I don't want Ron to die. I like Ron.
I know. I like Ron, too.
I like his flaws, but...
I think it adds for a more dynamic character. And
yeah,
I don't see... I honestly don't see him dying. Like, I don't see him... If he was faced with a life and death situation, I think he'd smarten up pretty quickly. I think that he maybe died in the crossfire kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see him dying because he's too weak.
I think Ron is smarter than he and others give him credit for.
So, well, not to break this, but Ron
yeah,
is another
topic
for another day.
Yeah, this is the Ginny cast.
So, and I think we've covered Ginny Weasley pretty well.
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah, she knows injustice, she knows what she's doing, she knows the meaning of hypocrisy, and that's really all you need in the Harry Potter universe.
But I do see only one thing possibly happening as well, is that she's going to get herself in trouble to help Harry. That's the one thing that...
Like, what do you mean? Like
well,
the Spider-Man thing?
Well, sort of like that, but in the sense that...
I could see her doing something to try and help Harry.
Something stupid.
And it would... Yeah, and it
rash.
Would end up...
Exactly.
End up getting her in trouble and making things a little worse.
But I did mention a few... Actually, it was like 3 or 4 episode. And the I said in book 6 where Harry says, you know, I can't be with you. She does basically say, once again, screw that. And she says, we're going to help you anyway. So I think whatever Ginny does, I think it's in her character to get herself in trouble for Harry. But at the same time, he shouldn't be held responsible for that. I think she's fully aware of all her actions. And I think that's what makes Ginny a great character and a responsible character.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree.
So do you want to do the outro for Georgia before we...
Yes, I think we should.
Why, does she have to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, she has to go because her dad's there.
Should we outro her, or should we just give her an exit?
What do you mean, outro or exit?
Well,
she's here. I'll do it. Georgia, you're still here, right? Okay. All right, well, that pretty much wraps it up for this
Virginia.
Part of the show. Right, but Georgia has to leave us right now because she must be on her way. Thanks for
thank
joining
you.
Us, Georgia.
I had a really nice time chatting to
thanks
everyone.
For coming, Georgia.
Yeah, thank you, Georgia.
Yeah, you were great. Great addition, so we'll have you on another time, I'm sure.
Excellent.
Yeah,
not next week, though,
show.
Because that's a live
podcast. So you want
well,
to
I don't
fly
know.
Out.
One.
Yeah, do you want to fly in?
Do you want to hitch a ride with
oh,
it?
Oh, you're going to, like, bring Georgia, but you're going to... See how it is.
No, we're not going to bring
Andy.
A girl from Georgia up.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for joining
Bye.
Us, Georgia.
Bye.
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 Now it's time for the voicemails, the part of the show where you send in your thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, theories...
Regarding general stuff.
Hoopla... Yeah, whatever you want relating to Harry Potter, let's play the first one right now.
Hi, MuggleNet boys and Laura. I totally love your show. Anyway, I'm Seleni from the Philippines, and I was watching Prisoner of Azkaban last night, and I was just wondering, where do Dementors come from? I mean, how exactly do you think they reproduce? Do they just pop out of nowhere? I know this curiosity is probably answered by Luna Lovegood or something that I just missed. And which is so sad because Luna is my favorite character. So I want to hear what you have to say about it. Thanks.
An infection or bacteria. It
yes,
flourishes
I agree.
Where things are unclean or in this case, unhappy. I think the whole reason why they're reproducing so fast is because people are worried, they're nervous, they're scared because of Voldemort coming back. And I think they're just like an infection in the way that they flourish when these feelings are, you know.
I agree completely. I think it is a spontaneous generation type thing. I do not think that Dementors mate. That would be...
I like the correlation. In Book 6, there is a... In the beginning, I believe, there's a, you know, a cold front or something, and they're mating,
yes.
And it makes everything, like the whole temperature and weather and everything cold. Outside, I love that correlation because...
Yeah, you know, doesn't it have something to do with the fog? I thought Fudge mentioned something once.
He mentioned that... I believe he said something about there being more cold and fog due to Dementors. Because I believe that wherever a Dementor is, it's very cold and unhappy.
Yeah. Maybe we don't know. Maybe nobody knows how they reproduce. Because it's so foggy when it happens. You see, like, good eye, here I am, you know, in the Dementor sack.
We are catching a real live
Dementor.
We're cutting
live
that.
Dementor.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, but I think that's the most viable answer. I think that's the only thing we can assume. But beyond that, it's just that, it's an assumption. I don't see J.K. Rowling putting in something that's where they breed or anything like that. I think that they are like a bacteria or an infection where
they feed on the evil, the emotion.
Yep. Right. And you know, as long as there are humans, there will be evil. So,
yeah.
But anyway,
evil.
I think evil. That answers that question.
No. You forgot about the origin. Where do they come from?
Oh,
They aren't in Fantastic Beasts, are they?
I can check. I do not believe so.
Yeah, they actually aren't. So, what I heard was some people were speculating that Dementors were actually manufactured characters, and not manufactured, but created by wizards or just by their bad emotions.
Well, it's possible that the way I always thought of it is that every good has an evil kind of thing. And I think that's symmetry throughout the book. There's Harry and there's Voldemort kind of thing. And I think that for all the good there has to be an evil. And I think the Dementors are the balance.
Also, I believe that Dementors represent depression, and where you have people, there will always be depression, there will always be sadness. So I don't think there's a specific origin, it's just where there are people, there will be Dementors.
And I think that if they knew where they came from, and it was a viable source, then they would have tried to exterminate them long ago, you know?
A long time ago.
Why would you want those things walking around?
Well, they are pretty effective for the Azkaban.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but do you think they would have kept them around when they could have just wiped out the whole lot of them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I like the idea of the Dementors because they were JKR's way, as a book three, before they were terribly developed, they sort of served for me as a reason to be upset. Like, if it's an explanation. If you're ever upset about something and you don't know why, you know, there could be a Dementor nearby. You know, it was just like this brilliant invention. Like, oh, hey, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
You know, it was like
that's
an explanation.
That's why episode 13 was cursed.
Yes.
There were Dementors.
There was Dementors outside. Yeah. but no, because I think it's a brilliant. Like, it's her solution of doing that, just like her approach to the Salem witch trials, you know, and her approach to with the boggart, with all the things like under our bed and in the closet and things like that. The boggart was a brilliant invention, and it applies to all of our fears and things. So
yeah, definitely. Okay, on to the next voicemail. Siobhan from Australia.
That was
Dumbledore
a good question.
Refused. What?
That was a good question.
It was a good
That
question.
Was a good question. I like that one.
Hello, MuggleNet. I'm Silva from Berlin. What I wanted to say is I have the impression that Hagrid's been somewhat laid aside in the sixth book. I mean, apart from Aragog's burial, Harry, Ron, and Hermione don't visit him. They are not going to his lessons, and there is no usual strange animals plot. I wanted to know, what do you think Hagrid's role will be in Book 7? Thanks, and continue the show, it's great.
It's going to be something with the giants. I don't know what.
Yeah, I was going to say that... I was going to say
I don't know why, but...
Hagrid will play a role to get the giants to play a role.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think that's what he did in Book 5. I wanted to say that his main job probably in the series is already done, is what I was going to say. But
really?
Then I realized...
You think so?
No, I don't, which is why I...
You're
I
lying
kinda,
to yourself.
Yes, I was. And so I think by Book 7, I think he will have another big role to play. Now, if you guys remember, which I'm sure you do because you're old enough, you remember that everybody was... Hagrid was the favorite to die in Book 5.
Yep.
But he didn't.
And Book 6.
And Book 6, but he didn't. And I think that's...
And Book 4, I think.
And I think that's important. You know, everybody thinks that Hagrid is going to die, but he's been through the giants, he's been through the Buckbeak thing, he's been through everything, and he's still been alive, and I think that's tremendously important.
To be honest, I don't see him dying, because she represents him as such a hardy person.
Jolly.
You know, someone who lives through things that other people won't live through. You know,
right.
Stuff like when they broke his wand and cast him out, he still kept hope and continued being active in the wizarding world.
And, dude,
world,
all the Death Eaters, like, attacking him and him defending
them
all.
Dude, Death Eaters.
Yeah.
And they get him and they get him and they burn his hut and he's still there, like, fending them off.
Exactly, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hagrid
is... He obviously is a very resilient person, and I don't see him dying.
Yeah.
I think
he will play a large role in Book 7, just because we discussed this on a previous cast, that she likes to kill people who no longer have a purpose. So I think if Hagrid no longer had a purpose, he wouldn't be with us anymore.
I think as much as it seems like they have unfinished business, both Sirius and Dumbledore have, or will prove more valuable in their death,
mm-hmm.
I think. Because Dumbledore really, I feel that Dumbledore did get out, you know, everything he had to Harry, and that was the whole point of his lessons. And I think that Sirius, now that Harry has Grimmauld Place, I think that'll play importance. I want Robbie Coltrane to continue playing Hagrid, because there was speculation. I remember there was an article about him saying he might move on to other things, but I think I like him as Hagrid.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't see it happening. People, Warner Brothers knows, how important he is to this series, starring in it, because
they know how to
Robbie Coltrane is, well, Hagrid is one of my favorite characters, and
he is,
Robbie Coltrane is one of my favorite actors in the series, just because he's done a lot of great work in the past, including the Bond films, which I'm a big fan of. So, I don't think we have to worry about him going anywhere. Warner Brothers will keep him on.
Yeah. They'll make him stay. If it requires offering him something very good, I'm sure they'll force him.
I mean, what can you offer besides the hearts and minds of brilliant, you know, of these young kids? And I mean, I never got that. Like, has anybody turned down a Harry Potter film, you know? And money. But would you turn down a Harry Potter film, you know? I mean, I think Jason Isaacs, who I love,
see,
is Lucius.
I think what he's trying to prevent is him typecasting himself into that role. He sees that people are starting to see him as Hagrid, and he's afraid that after this job, he won't get any other jobs, because any movie he's in, everyone will think of him.
Well,
it's Hagrid.
It's ironic, because, you know, after these blockbuster huge films, you know, he won't need to be in anything else. I think he's set for life.
Yeah, it really depends on if that's what he wants to do. And I do think that several of the actors are going to have problems with typecasting.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You know, just the trio. I think no matter what, like, you know, Rupert's doing that movie Driving Lessons now.
Mm-hmm.
But the same with Thunderpants. So many people from Harry Potter were in Thunderpants and are in Driving Lessons now.
I never saw that either.
Yeah, like, even Gambon and things, I think, if I'm correct. I might not be, but don't send emails and don't post on comments that we're lying. But yeah,
they'll
I think
do
there
it
were
anyway.
A lot of, but, you know, there's, like, these true elite British actors that are in the Harry Potter films because of how cool they are and how, you know, but any British film that Rupert does is probably going to have a connection right back to Harry Potter, and the fans are always going to make that connection.
Yep, absolutely. I think he's all right typecast, to be honest. I don't think,
I think they all are.
Yeah.
And the trio. I think the trio are all typecast.
But I think that Rupert is going around about it the right way. He's trying to pick up films besides Harry Potter and while doing Harry Potter to try to alleviate some of the typecasting, you know?
I think it's really cool because Rupert got his start by sending in, like, an audition video to, what was it, BBC or something. He was just a regular fan and, you know, a regular kid, and he sent his... So it's really, like, this cool story about... You know, not necessarily rags to riches, but he was just this happy fan, and now he's discovered acting and really, like, conditioned his skill.
I think he's one of the best. I would say that he's one of the best of the three.
He's my favorite. He really is. I love him.
I would say that, too. I think Ron is probably my favorite. Rupert. But, hey, one thing that reminds me, even though we're talking about Hagrid here, sorry, people, the... Rupert mention in book 6 when Slughorn.
That was not a mistake.
That was not a mistake.
Ugh!
I have to vouch for whoever is in charge of book mistakes.
That would be me and Janie.
No,
we
no
have
kidding.
That.
I feel so bad for you people because I know you guys. The second I read that, I thought people are going to think it's a mistake. But I treated that. For those of you who don't remember, Slughorn when he's drunk. I believe it's in Hagrid's Hut or whatever, he refers to Ron as Rupert. And I really didn't think it was a mistake. I actually thought it was...
I thought it was funny.
I treated it as tribute.
Me too.
I treated it as tribute, is what I did. Because if JKR is... It just works so well. I thought that it was completely a nod to Rupert from JKR. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I thought it was.
She's denied in the past that... the movies don't have any effect on the books, but come on, that's a nice little Easter egg, so to speak.
Yeah.
I just thought it was such a cool...
I thought it was really awesome, and...
I think Rupert should be completely, like, just blown away with how... I mean, that's a direct thing, and it's just...
Oh, both of our inboxes were so flooded with that.
I know, but that's okay.
You know what you can do? Do you still have the link for the editor of the Harry Potter books? Do you remember that? They posted... a response to the fans?
We actually, I believe, put a message on the Book Mistakes page saying, do not send this or die.
Yeah, I mean, all usually...
Right, so we answered that question, didn't we?
Okay.
We got to keep it rolling here.
Okay.
How far are we at? I'm laying on my floor again.
Two more voicemails. Okay. Siobhan from Australia.
How far in are we?
We're at
1:25.
Okay.
Hi, guys. This is Siobhan from Canberra, Australia. I love your show, and my favourite parts are the voicemails from other listeners. I would like to hear your comments on this interesting quote I reread in Philosopher's Stone. This is Dumbledore's response to McGonagall referring to Voldemort as, you know who, and I quote, "For 11 years I have been trying to persuade people to call him by his proper name, Voldemort." We have, of course, recently seen that from Dumbledore's memories in Half-Blood Prince that he refused to call Tom Lord Voldemort when Tom came looking for a job. So what do you think in this period of Tom looking for a job and Harry's parents dying, do you think has caused Dumbledore to change his mind? And do you think that if Dumbledore had continued to call Voldemort Tom Riddle, as he was doing when Tom was searching for a job, that perhaps the Chamber of Secrets diary wouldn't have warped Ginny so much because everyone would know that Tom was Lord Voldemort?
This is such an awesome question.
I love this question.
I know.
It
makes me happy.
Great.
Thank you,
Siobhan.
It's just great. That's all it is great.
So would you like to take this, Eric?
Sure, Kevin.
Look how enthusiastic he is.
This is such a good question. I love these because they completely think it out.
I should save this for the live podcast. So we can see how enthusiastic Eric gets over this question.
Oh, I'll get enthusiastic. I'll get enthusiastic just being there. So no, that's okay. Okay. So much I have to. Okay. Sorry.
Gathering thoughts.
It's okay. It's the more recent question. If he had called him Tom in the first place, would the diary have been discovered sooner? Yes. I think that's a brilliant. I think it's a plot device. It's all about. I think it was definitely convenient. It's not all about it, but I think it was definitely convenient for Dumbledore to be, you know, not revealing and not calling him Tom in the first book to McGonagall. And I think that has a lot to do with who Tom was, and it's the whole mystique behind Voldemort and his past, which is found out in Chamber of Secrets. But also, I think that Dumbledore did not call him Tom because he wasn't facing him, and he wasn't even in contact with him until, you know, book five, where he started calling him Tom. So I think what it is kind of like a teacher-student relationship type thing, where he's, you know, whenever he's face-to-face with Voldemort, Voldemort's trying to, you know, say, oh, I'm mighty, and he's trying to prove how much of a cool wizard he is, but he's still Tom to Dumbledore, and, you know, he's still the wizard, he's still his student, and he's still the little boy that he visited in the orphanage and stuff, and I think Dumbledore has bragging rights over Voldemort. I mean, he can just say Tom, and he's using his Muggle father's name against him, and it disgusts him, and I think it's just good like that.
Completely.
I think that it's an advantage that Dumbledore has over Voldemort that he would rather not destroy.
It makes him mortal. Yeah. It really does. If he has a name, if he has a mortal name, it ties him to the world, and it's just something.
Yeah, and I think that if he had told everyone what his real name was, it would have infuriated Voldemort for a little while, but then he would grow used to it.
Not to mention, we'd have the whole plot of Chamber of Secrets spoiled. If we knew in the beginning of Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah.
I think that probably has something to do with it.
Yeah.
I think that was really cool for development. It was definitely convenient, at least. What else did they ask in that? I don't think Dumbledore calls... the thing about in the beginning of the book with him insisting that people call him Voldemort, hand in hand, I think he wants people to call him by Voldemort because he doesn't like the idea that they're afraid of it, but at the same time he will call him Tom face to face. I mean, I think he wants to get people not to be afraid to call him what he wants to be called and stuff. And I can't express my best point. So this is probably a really crappy theory that I have.
No, but you're fine.
It's just there's so much. That's a good question.
I agree.
I think you pretty much beat that with a stick.
With my stick that I have from the caption contest. The stick. That was such an ad lib line. I don't even know what I meant by that. It was great. But
okay, so last and final voicemail.
Hey, MuggleCast. This is Jessica from Boston, Mass. Since J.K. Rowling started putting up birthdays on her site, I wondered if she considered the characters' horoscopes when choosing their special day. We all know Harry is a Leo, which is another connection to Gryffindor, and someone has written an interesting editorial on Libra McGonagall. Do you think this could lead to some insight on some characters? Just wondering what you guys think. Thanks!
I think that's entirely possible. Actually,
I think that there's too many coincidences to have not been. And I don't think that it's going to play a vital role, and it's not going to reveal anything huge.
No, but I think it's a fun thing.
It's one of the tidbits that she's... I really hope she writes a book of just tidbits where she just gives us the small little, things that people don't usually notice.
Because she has them. She has the whole Seamus Finnegan history that she didn't write out in the books because she sacrificed it for Neville's backstory, she said, on her site. But she has these things, and I think with the trio and stuff, I think it's entirely her doing that, you know, when their birthday is. And I think it's really interesting that now on her website we're getting all these happy birthday things and, you know, all the Wizards of the Month and things because
she wants us to know.
They all apply to our understanding of the universe.
And she obviously had it planned out.
She's
posting the birthdays.
We need to talk about her site, too. It's another good discussion we could have.
I think that she's giving out the birthday reminders as for a reason.
Keep it
because
fresh, if you ask me.
Well, yeah, but she knows that there are fans out there who dig deep, and she knows that there are going to be people who see that, and they're going to go look up these horoscopes.
You know what else she knows? She knows that we do a podcast, and it would be nice of her to recognize that on the site.
Yes.
Basically, we do think it plays a part, you know, the horoscopes, but, you know, it's not going to be a vital role.
And just, you know, for common interest, yeah. I just went to a horoscope site and said...
Actually, Jessica, I must thank her because she did it, include horoscopes for quite a few of the
characters. Oh, cool.
Which was, thank you, Jessica, for all the work. Maybe I'll have awesome. Andrew put it in the show notes.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we covered all that, right? Okay, a few
very
final
good voicemails.
Announcements.
We're going to get really nasty emails about people tired of us fitting Spy on Sparts into the last second of the show. But Emerson's on next week, so, you know, whatever.
They have to wait. So, Spy on Sparts. His away message is so corny this week. It's not even worthy of being aired.
Air it.
Last time I saw it, it said Friday. That was all it said.
No, it's changed now.
It's oh okay.
What does it say now? Let's see.
Hold on, I can't.
I got it. Right click. View contact information. Okay.
What takes you so?
It's a freaking weekend, baby. I'm about to have me some fun. So, Emerson is about to have fun.
You can
because it's
guess what that
quote
means.
Unquote the freaking weekend.
Oh man!
So in nature,
their minds are gonna wander so much.
In nature of this freaking weekend, somebody go on Notre Dame's site and get the live web feed. I think we're about to be surprised.
We may see Emerson on top of the Notre Dame
because of the freaking
funny
weekend.
Icon.
Yeah. People at our school who ride the husky dog. Yeah.
Can I tell you guys a secret?
What's that?
I don't know if our Spy on Sparks segment is as valuable as it used to be, because everyone has AIM.
Yeah.
Because
he gives it out to everyone.
Yeah, but they aren't checking him when we're checking it.
He has it on Facebook.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Everyone knows. Challenge pictures. Yes, we got many entries. One person dressed up as me, one person dressed up as Laura. That's all I've seen so far. I haven't looked through all of them.
I forwarded you.
Were you guys
email.
Slackers on us? You didn't dress up?
Yeah, I think a lot of people failed Andrew's listener challenge.
That's okay. I guess Eric's is still open. Eric's is still open. Just get his shirts. Make us shirts.
Yeah, that is still this week's challenge. Make us shirts. Because we are way too busy to make our own shirts. So send us designs and stuff. We'll take a look at them. We'll probably post them. The Halloween pictures, I did promise they'd be posted in our galleries. I will get around to posting them. I'm just... This upcoming week is going to be very busy.
Can we announce...
Ben's flying in Monday. I have a meeting with a guy named Bruce Springsteen on Tuesday. And
Bruce, who's that?
The rest of my week is shut.
Springsteen?
I don't know. I hear his music's good.
I don't know. Huh. Sounds like hippie.
Okay. And then also, moving right along, don't forget, if you have a mobile phone, you can find out more about MobileCast on MuggleCast.com. MobileCast is a service that will let you listen to our show and many others' podcasts right there on your own cell phone. So go to MuggleCast.com, and then under the listener to-do list, you can find out more about MobileCast.
Andrew, why doesn't
And then don't forget. What? I'm on a roll here. What?
I'm sorry. Why isn't there an E in MobileCast between... I mean... That's
because it's podcasting. There is no rules. And then don't forget to visit powwows.com/MuggleNet for everything related to Native American Month for both students and teachers.
And again...
Now... What? Go ahead.
Have them send in recommended books.
Yes.
Yes.
We are going to start doing
plenty of emails, but
book review type thing.
We'll slowly but surely go through them.
Yeah, we'll find somebody to read books and comment
on
the show.
Yes, we're
Yeah, Laura, you're homeschooled. You have all the time in the world.
Yes, I will read your books.
Okay. Oh, and then one last final thing. My official fan site, AndrewSims.com, spelled with a Z, was nominated for an award. A Dervish Award. It's a Harry Potter fan site. There's a link in the show notes.
Hey, you know what's funny about Sims spelled with a Z?
What's that?
When you add 89 to it, it becomes something.
birthday year?
We just don't know what.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, people...
And with
if
the
you're
first
trying to give people my AIM name,
and with the you forgot
that's
the
still not even close.
No, they forgot the first initial.
Close.
First initial, right before it. First initial.
What first initial? I don't know what you mean.
Okay, well, I'm not editing this entire part, so let's just keep it at that, and they can try to figure out my AIM name. And okay, that wraps it about up. Episode 14 next week is the big live show. Kevin, I will be, and Eric. I'll be seeing you next week.
Yes.
Yes.
Should be interesting.
Live in New York City. I can't get my mind off of it.
I know.
There's so many... We're still... Everything's set, but...
We just don't know what it is.
Me and Melissa are working on a sweet introduction.
I need to skip math because of that, you know, it's that podcast. I do. I'm skipping math to catch a bus.
Aww.
Yep. See, I'm dedicated, people.
Wow.
So if any of you want to tutor me in multivariable calculus,
multivariable.
Oh my god!
I'll,
oh wow!
Really.
Yeah, Kevin, I'll tutor you. In
yeah, Kevin, because you know how good I am at math.
So wrapping things up, I am Andrew.
I am Kevin Stack, who just interrupted Andrew Simpson.
I am Eric Skull, who can't think of much different intonations to use when I intro or outro myself.
And I'm Laura Thompson, and that's
being unoriginal.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
There we go.
Episode 15 live, November 13th will be when it's released. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Oh,
bye.
I won't.
No, you won't.
We'll see you at home, Laura.
You guys suck.
You'll be in there, though.
I'll be there in spirit.
We'll be sure to get you, like, a bumper sticker or something.
Oh, how
we'll get
sweet.
You an I Love New York shirt or something. Aww.
This week's remix is from Julian in Australia.
Mugglecast.
Acme Treatment Singing Downloads/episodes.
Ooh, Halloween.
And finally, Acme Treatment.
Bonjour, MuggleCast! This is Larry in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with an observation on the films thus far. Like his predecessor, Sir Richard Harris, I think Michael Gambon is a fine actor of the classic type. He belongs on stage, belting out a blood-curdling line from Shakespeare or Poe. However, as Dumbledore, I fear he misses the hushed wisdom, the quiet strength, inherent in nearly everything Dumbledore does. While he certainly adds a much-needed spark to the character, there is an understated majesty that's missing. This, I feel, is the key to what makes Albus Dumbledore such a special character and an indispensable role model for Harry.
This is just as bad as last week.
No, it's not bad. That episode was cursed, okay? Episode 13, we actually recorded a whole episode 13 with Ben and a few other people, and we talked about Remus Lupin, but it went terribly. It was not...
So we did it again.
So we did it again, and it turned out many of you have said on the comments that this was your favorite episode. And that it was a lot of fun. And so we really like that, and we think, gee, that's really lucky that, you know, went from so much... bad.
Yeah. It may have been lucky 13 for you guys,
but
it wasn't for
not
us.
For us. We were We pulled an all-weekender right there. But,
I get a lot of requests to be added to people's buddy lists on Skype.
I actually had someone bypass my request thing. I don't know how they did it.
Well, you know what? I always accept them, but I never answer the phone. It drives them crazy,
see?
And I love doing it.
I don't accept them.
I get them all excited. Ben and I were talking on Skype a few weeks ago, and we picked up, someone called, and I picked up that one time. And that's the only time. Only one person